702.
The Clement Manyathela Show.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, it's 23 minutes before 11 o'clock. You're listening to the Clement Manyathela Show. And right now we continue with a new series that we started last week. It's about ancient and modern religions in Africa. Remember last week we started by looking at the ancient religion of the Orishas of the Yoruba religion. This is the belief system of the Yoruba people, which may have originated many years ago. In fact, it's regarded as one of the oldest religion in the world. So we got to learn more about it. And some of you had questions about it as well. Well, today we're looking at the religion of Rastafarianism. It's a religion that, in fact, a lot of people were asking. As I said, we're going to talk about this religion. They were asking whether, in fact, this should be classified as a religion to begin with. And there's often a debate about whether the religion we are discussing today should be classified in that way. But Rastafarianism is grounded in Christianity and Judaism, and therefore should be classified as a religion in theory. I think a common characteristic that they share with some religious movements, the use of sacraments. You know, the most silent feature of the Rastafari movement is the use of marijuana, for instance, as a sacrament. They've got their own Bible as well, which we'll find out about that. Some of them call it the Black Man's Bible. So if you subscribe to Rastafarianism, I would like you to share what your experiences have been, right, and how that has guided you as a religion throughout your life. You can call us on 011-883-0702 or send your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702. Tau Tau Haramanuba is the president of the Rastafari United Front in South Africa, who's going to help us understand more about Rastafarianism. Thank you so much for making time for us, Tau Tau. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Clement and the listeners of 702.
Let's maybe begin with this debate that often rages on about whether or not Rastafarianism is a religion. How do you guys, as people who subscribe to this, identify it? And what do you make of often this debate about whether or not it should be classified in that manner?
Well, Rastafari, according to its self-definition, we say Rastafari, we don't say Rastafarianism. We are not Rastafarians, so we don't practice a thing called Rastafarianism. But we say it's Rastafari, because Rastafari is the name of a person, the former king of Ethiopia, the emperor of Ethiopia, Haile Selassie. So in our self-definition, we say it's a way of life, it's a liberty. It's a spiritual way of life, or it's a way of life with a spiritual nucleus within it. Now, because of you don't have a monopoly over how you are defined, in South Africa we are classified as one of the constitutionally recognized religious or faith-based community, but otherwise from its own self-definition, it's a way of life.
Okay, so you're saying that the correct way to say it is Rastafari, right? Not Rastafarianism. Is that correct? Thank you so much for that correction. I appreciate that. So what belief systems then govern Rastafari?
Central to Rastafari is the personality of His Majesty Haile Selassie. So it is centered around the idea that God is man and God is black. So, and the God is the king of Ethiopia, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. So this is derived from earlier philosophers like Marcus Garvey, who would ask that where is the black man's God? I mean, the white man decided to paint God look like him, then we have white Jesus. Every nation you got in their own spectacles, the Chinese, if you go and look at the images of their gods, you go to the Indians, Krishna look like the people of India, and so forth. So in response to that, Rastafari pointed out during his coronation in 1930 that the emperor Haile Selassie, whose pre-coronation name is Rastafari, is that black god that the black world in the 1920s and 1930s were talking about the coming of the universal king, who is a black god, who is Rastafari. So central to Rastafari is the person Rastafari. That is why our way of life is Rastafari, our philosophy is Rastafari, our culture is Rastafari. So it's centered around Rastafari. Even when we greet, we just say Rastafari, Rastafari.
Mm. Okay. So who do you pray to? In other words, where exactly would you say that Rastafari gets its religious foundation? And where does Christianity and Judaism then come into the mix?
Rastafari pray to Rastafari, the King of Kings. Now, the Judaism and Christianity come from the fact that Rastafari is itself a response to colonialism and slavery. So the black people of Jamaica, who were taken or stolen from Africa and made slaves, they had nothing else to use as a frame of reference to this idea. So the only book that they were allowed to read was the Bible. So hence, they are element of Judeo-Christianity. But Rastafari has since evolved. Even before that, there were about four founders of Rastafari, about four different schools of thought, if I should. And one of them was led by the founder, Leonard Howell, who developed a document called The Promise Key, which was an evolution from two previous documents, the Holy PB, which is known as the Black Man's Bible, and the Parchment Scroll of Black Supremacy. So Rastafari is founded on the teachings of His Majesty about spirituality, about life, about Pan-Africanism, about culture, about Africa.
Mm. And sorry, I may have missed it there. So what I wanted, my first question was also about who do you pray to? Do you pray to His Majesty Rastafari directly? Yes. when you worship, when you pray?
Yes.
Okay.
Rastafari, and worship to His Majesty Rastafari.
Okay. And do you believe that then Rastafari, do you believe he was like the Christians believe, like Jesus was like a prophet and God on earth? Or is that like a similar belief as well with regarding Rastafari?
Yes, the Rastafari believe that His Majesty is God on earth, is God in the physical of man. It's about the divinity of man and the humanity of God. That God is divine, and God is man. Man is divine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
how it says that your body is a temple of God. God lives within us. Now, if God lives within man, it makes a man the vessel of God.
Where and how do you pray as Rastafari? People who subscribe to Rastafari, do you, in terms of, because often there's like fellowship with other religions, people go to the mosque, who subscribe to Islam, people go to the church, there are other religions as well, you know, that really guides how people pray and where they pray. With Rastafari, how does it work?
We have several centers of spiritual practices, centers where we meet. We have the Nayabindi, where we come together, we do our drumming, our chanting, and then we will be meeting on important days like the yesterday. It was the 21st of April. It was His Majesty's visit to Jamaica in 1966, 21st of April, which is known as a Groundation Day. And then we have the 23rd of July, which is His Majesty's birthday. We have also the 2nd of November, which is His Majesty's Coronation Day. But largely, majority of the Rastafari, they keep the Sabbath or they go to worship on Saturday. Their main day of worship is Saturday. But otherwise, Rastafari pray on a daily basis. Their life itself it's a prayer. That is why every time they meet one another, we agree, they will always say, give thanks to life.
Yeah.
So we give thanks to who? We give thanks to the creator of life. So it's a day-to-day worship system.
Okay. After the break, I want Tau Tau Hara Manuba, who is the president of the Rastafari United Front in South Africa, to just speak more about their way of life. So when they talk about the Rastafari way of life, what does that entail? But also, what about the involvement of marijuana, for instance, as a sacrament? When you subscribe to this religion, do you have to, for instance, use marijuana? We'll get some clarity from Tau Tau. If you've got your own questions, by the way, give us a call. 011-883-0702. Maybe you subscribe to Rastafari. What has been your experience? What attracted you to this religion? 072-702-1702 for your WhatsApp voice notes. It's 12 minutes now before 11 o'clock.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
All right, it's 10 minutes now before 11 o'clock. We are currently in the middle of a conversation with Tau Tau Hara Manuba, who is the president of the Rastafari United Front in South Africa. This is as part of a new series that we started last week about modern and ancient religions in Africa. Last week, we discussed the orishas of the Yoruba religion. And today we are discussing Rastafari. If you've got questions, if you've got some inputs, you want to share some experiences with us, you're welcome to do that by calling us or sending us a WhatsApp voice note. Tau Tau, I want us to talk about the way of life. You said earlier there's a particular way of life that you believe in as people who subscribe to Rastafari. What is your way of life?
My way of life is Rastafari. We define it as Rastafari, which means we define how I dress, how I relate with other people, which is based on the principles of peace and love, how I eat, which is based on what Rastafari calls anti.
Sorry, Tau Tau, your line seems to have deteriorated, man. It was much better earlier. I don't know if you're speaking via headphones. Can you just speak directly to your phone, please? Because we're hearing you from far. Go ahead. Okay. The producers are going to try. Yes, much better now. Let's try that.
I was saying that my way of life is Rastafari, as a Rastafari, which then entails my dress code, my personal and interpersonal relationship with other people, my diet, my food, my reverence to the divine. So all of that is generally called Rastafari. So we have our own way of eating with Ital, which is basically derived from Vital. We're eating the food that is vital to.
Okay, and are there, in terms of like lifestyle, are there things that people who subscribe to the religion are supposed to do or cannot do, are not allowed to do? Like, do you believe in the concept of sin, for instance? I think that's what I'm trying to establish, as what is the way of life? What's expected, what's not expected, what's allowed, what's not allowed?
We are expected to live peacefully with everyone. Hence, we talk about peace and love. We are expected to live healthy. That is why we talk about ital living. We are taught that there is wrong and right. So we are striving to be on the side of right all the time, and to live clean, a clean life, an honest life. And we are also expected to dress in a certain way. Like, for instance, the Rasta women, they don't wear pants. They wear long skirts. We don't refer to women as chicks or babies or cherry, because a chick is that little chicken, and a baby is a little human, and a cherry is that little thing you put on top of an ice cream. So therefore, these, we view them as diminutive. So we refer to our women as queens. So we have this royal and divine relationship with one another. But it's not only limited to the Rasta women, even to the other women. We just call them queen, we call them sister, because we are expected to deal with everyone respectfully.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so even in the context of an intimate relationship, you can't say to someone, baby.
No, even in the context of intimate relationship, we call them queen.
Okay.
This is my queen. If I'm going to introduce my woman to you, I'm going to say, "Let me meet my queen."
Okay. So I'm going to go to some WhatsApp voice note in a minute. But before that, just help us understand what marijuana then gets involved. How is that part of Rastafari?
Marijuana is one of the articles of faith within Rastafari. It's viewed as a sacrament. We use it for on sacramental purpose, but we also use it as a medicine. We also use it also within the food. And then there are even more discoveries of marijuana making textile, like fabrics and clothes. My queen made clothes out of the hemp fabric, which is made up of marijuana. So we live, we use it when we meet spiritually as a congregation. We have our peace pipe where we share it among ourselves in order to bring our meditation to the same level by sipping from the same cup of peace. So marijuana is very central to our faith as a sacrament, for sacramental use, but also as a medicine.
Okay, let's go to some WhatsApp voice notes on 0727021702.
Hello, Clement. With regard to Rastafarians, I don't know much about them except for their beautiful music and then their pot smoking ways, most of them. But what I definitely know is that if the world was ruled by Rastafarians, there wouldn't be any war. They are the most peaceful people I've ever met. The most loving and peaceful people. I've never seen a Rastafarian engaging directly in war. They are always smiling. That's what I like about them. Thank you.
Good morning, Clement. I'm learning from Julian Binoni. Just want to, if you can please ask your kids. I'm saying they pray to Rastafari. So who is Jah? He always says the word Jah. Just want to find out about that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for your WhatsApp, Tau Tau. The question about Jah, who is Jah?
Actually, we use the word Jah together with Rastafari. We say Jah Rastafari. But Jah is shortened for Jehovah. Like when you say hallelujah. So Jah is basically, we replace the word God, G-O-D, with the word Jah, J-A-H. So when you say Jah, we are basically saying God. So when you say Jah Rastafari, we are basically saying God Rastafari.
Okay. Tau Tau, Haramanuba, thank you so much for making time for us and for enlightening us about the Rastafari religion. I appreciate it. I will bring in another religion next week, probably a modern one, on this series to learn more about it. That's next week at 10:30. It's now 3 minutes before 11 o'clock.